verse 9. We're going to go through verse 13 there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, Father, because without it, we're lost. We don't have the owner's manual here, Lord, and so we need it. We need your word. We need it apparent in our lives, Lord. We need to apply it to our lives, Father. So show us how to do that properly and, Father, in order. We thank you, Father, for your love for us. We just ask you to bless it this morning, Lord, as we talk about you and Matthew and, Lord, that we just would want to hear from you, Lord. Prick our hearts today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 9, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, Why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus heard that. He said to them, "Those who were well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and tell what this means: I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Sinners to repentance. So here we have Matthew, tax collector. And certainly we'll talk about him a little bit and his character and what he was as a Christian, right? As a follower of Christ. But I want to share with you you might have heard about the Hindu priest and the rabbi and the lawyer. They were on a journey together and they were traveling and it was getting dark and they knew they had to have some place to stay, so they decided that perhaps the next place that they came upon that they would ask, knock on the door and ask if they had a place to stay. And so they got to the next place, they knocked on the door and said, "Hey, we need a place to stay." And the guy said, "You know, you guys are welcome here, but I only have room for two of you." Right? He said, "But I have a barn. I have a barn that you can go in, you can stay in." And so the Hindu priest said, "Hey, I'm from India. I've lived a poor life. I can probably handle the barn." So he went out in the barn, and the other two got settled in, and a knock came at the door, and it was the Hindu priest, and he said, "You know, I can't be out there. There's cows out there, and they're sacred to us." And so okay. So the rabbi said, "No problem. I'll go out there and just sleep tonight." So he went out there to sleep, and he got out there, and they got settled in the house, and a knock came at the door, and it was the rabbi priest, or the rabbi, and the rabbi said, "I'm sorry, I can't be out there because there's pigs out there, and, you know, they're unclean, and I just can't be out there." So the lawyer said, "Okay, I'll go out there, and I'll sleep the night." So sure enough, the lawyer goes out, starts to sleep, and these folks get settled into their beds, and unfortunately another knock came at the door, and they opened the door, and there stood the pig and the cow. And so that is just a little bit of what Matthew might have felt like, you know, like this lawyer. You know, we always portray the lawyers as being bad, and of course they're not always that way. But certainly Matthew was portrayed that way. And so as we look at this, we have to know, the one thing we have to know here is that tax collectors, in a sense, were scum of the earth. Right, they were scum of the earth in a sense. They really, and the reason why is because their character normally, usually, was bad. Right, so they skimmed off the top. They collected for the Roman government, yet. yet they added a little extra there for them. And depending on who you were as a tax collector and how much you would want to take off the top, right? So in a sense, they rip people off. And usually when you rip people off, you're not taken too kindly. And interesting enough, we're faced with that all the time, right? We're faced with people, in a sense, like this, that have ripped people off. I know of a guy that no longer is with us. He's with the Lord. He ripped people off for years, right, with his drug habits. His family hated him. And it was because he ripped them off. And so they had a certain image of him. But then the Lord renewed his life, you know, gave him a fresh start. Unfortunately, the consequences of his drug habits really turned him in, right? At 40 years old, he went to be with the Lord just because of the damage that he did the previous 10 years to his body. But Matthew was very similar in that sense, is that he was looked upon very downwardly. And as we learned last week, Jesus just knows the heart, doesn't he? He knows what we're thinking. He knows our innermost thoughts. He just knows it. And it's funny how that we hide things from the Lord, because there is no hiding from the Lord, right? But he does. He knows our heart. And as we saw in verse 4 of chapter 9, and how without them even saying this man blasphemies, he knew that they said it, because they said it in their heart. And how often we fall guilty of that, and when we think certain things about people, you know, when we allow our minds to tell our stories about certain individuals or circumstances, and all of a sudden we become a judge of those people without even seeing their guilt, in a sense, right? We're just condemning them. But the Lord, he knows our hearts for true. He knows where we stand on every issue in our lives. There's not one thing that passes by him that he doesn't see, you know. And the same thing here with Matthew, he saw his heart. It says that Jesus passed on from there and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. Not many people of that day would have asked the tax collector to, "Hey, come to dinner with us," or come sit with me. But Jesus could see beyond the outside, in which everybody had looked, obviously, but he could see his heart. And he knew that he longed for something and somebody like Jesus. "Come follow me." And he knew that his response, his willing response to follow him, right? Because remember, you know, we lose sight of this when we're reading the scriptures here, but Matthew penned this, right? And so here's Matthew talking about Matthew. You know, and he certainly could have versed that a little differently, but he didn't. He could have talked about himself in this. He could have talked about his righteousness, but he didn't. But how willing are we when the Lord calls us, when the Lord says, "I want you to rise up and I want you to go. I want you to rise up and I want you to do this. I want you to rise up and stop what you're doing, stop your plans, and I want you to do what I've got planned for you." You got to see that the Lord's plan is always the best plan for us, right? Always the best plan for us. There's not one instance in time in which the Lord asks us to do something or commands us to do something and it's worse for us than where we're at. So often when we sit, right, we came down from Rochester and when we sat, and we were just talking about it yesterday as we took a little walk together, and just about we're marveled at what the Lord has done in our lives over the years, right? And there was certain points in our lives that people would think that we were marginally crazy, I guess. Perhaps more than marginally, that we've left things that we've that have no value to us, that really have no value to us. There's no eternal value in a house. There's no eternal value in land. There's really no eternal value in a job, the position. There's no eternal value in that. Right? And the Lord always brings us to a spot in which is better for us. It's better for us. And then the turmoil hits and the doubts hit. Right? And we think the Lord maybe made a mistake, but He never makes a mistake. Right? His calling is sure. Right? Sometimes what we do isn't so sure. I challenge you to make your calling sure in Christ. Make sure that what He's called you for is, you know, that you know what He's called you for. And if you don't know what He's called you for, believe me, you're not a big ball of flesh. The Lord's called you for a purpose. He wants to work in your life. He wants to humble us so that He can work in our lives. Isaiah 1, 18 through 20 says, "Come now and let us reason together." And interesting enough, we cannot use this for ourselves. We cannot get together and reason amongst ourselves. This verse is specifically saying, get together with the Lord and reason with Him. Get together with Him and see what He has in store. Says the Lord, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Certainly don't want wool on today, though maybe a breeze better. "If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." Do you want to eat the good of the land that the Lord has provided? You know, that was always Israel always wanted to go to the promised land, right? They always wanted to go across the Jordan from Moses all the way through Joshua. They wanted to go there. That was where they wanted to be. When they were in the wilderness, they didn't want to be in the wilderness. But the Lord needed to have them in the wilderness to teach them some things there. But are we willing and obedient? We're pretty willing and obedient when the dollars are right. We're pretty obedient when the circumstances are right. If they fall in line with our way of thinking, we're pretty good with that. We're pretty willing, we're pretty obedient. But as soon as God crosses the line and challenges us to step out from the midst of our comfort zone, maybe it's outside of our direct family, maybe it's outside of even the body that you come to love and enjoy the fellowship with, and perhaps God challenges us to step beyond that. Believe me, there's a lot of folks up in the Geneva area that we love to spend time with, we love to fellowship with. But we got to be willing to step beyond that. We got to be willing to step outside of our comfort zone into the path in which the Lord wants us to. And if it says, verse 20 there, it says, "But if you refuse," and we all have the choice, we can refuse. You know, Adam refused. He rebelled. It says, "And if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." It's a pretty vivid phrase there. Certainly, to be devoured. We think of the lion that roams, waiting for who he might devour, right? And certainly, to walk in the Lord's path is always best. It's not always easy. Don't get the false gospel that all your problems are taken away as soon as you receive the Lord as your Savior. That's not what happens. There's consequences, certainly, with that our sin has given us. But it's good to live in peace, right? And Jesus said, "I've come to give you peace." And we should expect that, at least from the Lord. So who was Matthew? Well, we kind of discussed that already. He was a tax collector. He was the lowest of lows as far as characters go. He was probably one of the richers in the community. But, you know, money can only take you so far. Right? It can't take you to heaven. You can't buy yourself into heaven. There's no bribery system set up in heaven that would suggest that, right? You could say that he was similar, if you had to do a comparison, maybe similar to some sleazy lawyers. Some lawyers are that way. Perhaps, you know, maybe some of us would think of the mafia, though the mafia isn't very strong nowadays as much as they used to be, I guess. But maybe a more vivid thing for today would be a terrorist. You know, if a terrorist showed up here at church and we knew it, how would you feel? Right? There'd probably be a migration. You guys would all be sitting over here, and he would be sitting over in that corner. That's how I visualize it, if we all knew it. But that's not how it should be. That's how we are. Because we always question, why are we ministering, Lord, in the south side here in Elmira? There's some characters out there, right? There's some characters that we're going to run into. But God can change a character into something that is very purposeful and purpose, you know, through the Holy Spirit can really drive that person to fulfill God's purpose in his life. Now, if in verse 9 there, Matthew could have wrote it such like this, he could have said, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw me, Matthew. And we could have noted that it was Matthew. But, you know, as we read through this, I don't know, when I read through this portion of Scripture, my eyes never go to Matthew. It always goes to what Jesus is doing. Isn't that the way it should be? And we shouldn't portray ourselves, hey, look what Fred's doing. That's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. Our involvement here should be, in a sense, behind the scenes. As Jesus works, right? It works as miracles. He could have said, I was sitting in the office. He didn't even have to say anything about taxes, because maybe he thought that maybe that would throw off his image, right? And he said to me, follow me. And he arose and followed him. He didn't have to allude that maybe he was part of the tax collection agency. Right? He could have presented a good image. Don't we sometimes do this? If you ever go to your boss for a raise, do you ever say to him, you know, I really screwed this up this year, and I did this poorly, and every time you ask me to do something, I didn't do it, by the way. Would that get you much? That wouldn't get you much, right? So, normally what we do, we sit down with our bosses and we say, is there anybody better? Right? Is there anybody better? And we disguise our faults, but that's not what Matthew's doing here. I think Matthew doesn't necessarily, matter of fact, he doesn't talk about himself other than he followed him. I don't think he set out to talk about himself. He set out to see what Jesus did in the work in his life. He also, I don't think he set out to talk about his testimony, because his testimony is worthless without Jesus. I don't know, probably about a month or two ago, I had a gentleman come in and say, he was here first time I saw him, last time I saw him. He said, I'd like to share my testimony. And I'm sure he would have been here the next Sunday if I said yes, but I said, you know what, you come for 6 months and We'll talk. Let me get to know you. Because I said, the testimonies that are shared here is all about Jesus. Because that's the only testimony that really means anything, right? So I think for Matthew, he didn't want to spend time on himself. He wanted to walk by himself. That humility that we all need. You know, how many times do we get up in the morning and say, oh, my hip, or oh, my leg, or, you know. And, of course, a lot of us have been saying, oh, my back, right? Because it just does seem that way. But we're all always directing it towards us. And I guess my encouragement to us this morning would be, we need to be more directive towards the Lord. We need to direct people towards the Lord. He's the one. He's right. He's the one that heals. Right? He's the one that gives life. He just uses us as a vessel. And we're leaky at that, right? We continuously go to Him and say, fill me, fill me, fill me. We continuously leak, leak, leak. So in a sense, from a standpoint of just looking at us, we're leaky vessels. How many of you have fallen short this week? Right? Yeah, I have too. And it's just, I've fallen short of everything He is. But thank you for the grace, right? Thank you for the grace that covers a multitude of sin. And it's an awesome thing that the Lord does in our lives. We do fall short, but He never does. But the Lord seeks after a humble heart. Psalm 117 says, "You have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear." Something about humility brings out the best in the Lord too. It sharpens His hearing. You know, I don't know how many times a guy has come into my office and said, you know, started kind of being the prideful one that he is and started bragging, and I have a hard time listening to them guys. I'd rather have a guy with no ability that God can use than a guy with ability that God can't get past his pride. God can work with a humble heart. Proverbs 16:19 says, "Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." I think we'd all admit that we love humble people ourselves. And certainly the Lord likes to use humble people. Proverbs 29:23 says, "A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor." Matthew 23:12 says, "And whoever exalts himself will be humbled." Right? There comes a day, everybody's lives, that will be humbled. Right? Verse 10 there, it says, "Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples." He didn't do anything real unusual here, you could say. You know, a lot of times we get into this whole program thing in the church where we go, "Oh, let's do this program in order to get people to come and sit with us. In order to fill the pews, we do some, in a sense, really ungodly things to fill the pews." In verse 10 it says, "And now it happened." It happened that Jesus just sat at the table. He was there. He was present. He just sat with them. And He just ate. I know when you're talking to people out on the streets, when you're witnessing to folks, the best thing you can do, you know, a lot of people are afraid of that, but all you have to do is bring up a conversation with them. Ask them how they're doing. Start allowing them to feel comfortable with you. I mean, that was Jesus's thing, where He just sat with people and they said, "You know what, I kind of feel comfortable here, you know. It's not black tie. I don't have to dress up for this. I just got to be there. I just got to be with Jesus, you know." So he also made Himself available. Right? How do you make yourself available to people? Well, it's difficult because we've got so much going on today, and we're so consumed with activities. How do we make ourselves available? Well, you pray, and you start cutting out these activities that are meaningless for eternity. You know, that they have no bearing on people's salvation. You get a heart for the Lord, that all you want to do is serve Him. You know, that He's more important. When Jesus calls, I go, I follow. It's not, let's think about this for a little bit. Let's see, Jesus is calling, He's telling me to do this. Let me give it some thought, Lord, in prayer. Right, because that's where we cop out. We cop out sometimes when folks ask us, "Hey, can you do this for me?" And you know, man, the Lord spoke to you this morning. You just know it. Here he spoke to you, here he paved the way, and what do you say to him? You tap out and you say, I'll pray about it. It might be something that you don't want to do. It might be something that you're scared to death to do. But you know that the Lord's already pricked your heart, and you already know that he wants you to do this. Right? And I challenge you, don't neglect the Lord. Be obedient. Be willing. But he was available for the sinner. He was available for me. Right? That's why I'm here today. Right? That he was available for me. That he sent certain people into my life to preach the gospel to me in order that I might hear the truth of his gospel. So what was their response? The response, and it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. They just came in, and they sat down. They came in and sat down. They knew that Jesus offered something that they didn't have. They might have had all the finances. They might have had all the frills of this life, this world, but they didn't have Jesus, and they knew that something about him, he had something to offer them. And they sat down. They were comfortable with him. Why were they so comfortable? I think it was mercy. They knew that they could go to him, and even though they're sleaze bags, right? Like we all are. And we can go to him. And we can sit with him. There's not going to be any condemnation. Have you ever feared just bringing something up to the Lord? Lord, I don't know if I want to talk about this with you. But he's merciful. You know, that's one of his essence, right? That we can't get around, that God can't get around. He doesn't wake up one morning and he's like Fred, real nice one morning, and the next morning I have no grace, no mercy. I'm just in a bad mood, right? That's not the Lord. One of his essence is mercy. And I really think he uses that almost the most as he's trying to draw us into him. Not only did they sit with Jesus, it says here, but they sat with his disciples, the ones that had been underneath him, the ones that had seen God's hand work, you know. And you got to believe that in the midst of his disciples here, he was Matthew. And you got to believe that some of these publicans and sinners would sit there and say, I remember you out there collecting those taxes. And I remember you skimming off the top. And it was an opportunity for Matthew to say, well, it wasn't me that changed my life. It was Jesus that changed my life. It was an opportunity to testify for the Lord. It's not what I have accomplished, but it's what he's accomplished in me. And in verse 11, and then the Pharisees saw it, and they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and sinners? Why do you associate with those people? Why do you hang out with those people? And perhaps, you know, if you gave them the benefit of the doubt, perhaps maybe one of the things that they were struggling with was perhaps just a fear of what a sinner would do in their lives, what impact a sinner might have on their life. And you remember when Hezekiah was encouraging Judah, right? As the multitudes of Assyrians were coming against them, and it was overwhelming, and they were fearful. And Hezekiah would say this in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7 and 8. He said, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitudes that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. Do you forget that? Do you forget that as a child of God, we have more with us than against us? You don't have to be fearful. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. That's the cool thing, see. We go out there for the Lord. We don't have to bring anything with us. We just go out with him. And he fights all the battles. He does it all for us. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Or perhaps the reason why they asked this question was they looked at these sinners and they looked at the tax collectors and they said, why are you wasting your time on these guys? Don't we have better things to do with our time? And it always is seemingly the way of the church today is that we don't want to inconvenience ourselves. We don't want to take the time to reach out to those that don't know Christ. If you remember Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, it says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, there's a lot of important words, right, that we think about. But I think one of the most important words that the Lord has ever said to me was, go. Right? And in this verse, go, has no indication in this verse or any place else where he says, okay, stop. Okay, pause. Take a rest. Man, the time is drawing near. The Lord's coming back soon and he's going to gather us up and we're going to have that eternal rest, right? But right now, it's not time to rest. Right, it's time to spread the gospel. It's not time to get caught up in the affairs of the world because all them things are going to perish. All those nice things, you know, I think about painting my house. Right? I should paint it. I want to preserve the siding, right? But it's not that important to me. It's the last thing I'll probably do this year, next year, year after. I'll wait until it gets bad enough where I'm really like, okay, now it's time. That's why I got Noah. That's what people tell me anyways. Sorry, Noah. But it's to go, you know. This is Jesus commanding us. As a Christian, this is what you bought into. You might have not known this at the time, but this is what you bought into. When Jesus saved you, this is what happens. He says, go. He wants you to go and he wants you to tell people about him. He wants us to disciple. We get confused on that word disciple, but that really means to teach, right? We want them to, we want people to know. They get saved, they come in, we teach them the things of the Lord, right? That's exciting. To see application in people's lives, right? To see them take the Word of God and put it right here, right? And right here and know it. You know, half the time when I'm up here, you know, I'll say part of a scripture that I hadn't even thought about prior to saying it here, right? It's because the Lord's here. I've been discipled by the Lord. He's the best discipler, right, if we get into his word. 2 Timothy, verse 4 of chapter 2 says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlists him as a soldier. We're enlisted as a soldier of Christ. We're the ones that, by the way, we're enlisted freely. You know, we weren't drafted. We weren't pulled into this. But we said, you know what? Jesus has something to offer us, right? Eternal life. And we bought into it. We want to follow Him. Jesus has asked us to rise up and follow Him. Right? Even when He calls His disciples here, whether it's Matthew, whether it's Peter, He says, so He arose and He followed. It never says that He stopped following them. Right? Never says that He stopped. We need to continue on the path. It brings up a good question. Why should we eat with sinners? Well, ultimately, we want to lead them to Jesus, right? We want to lead them to Jesus. Why are we sponsoring the Harvest America? Because we want the South Side to know Jesus. To know who He is. Really, to know who He is. Not just a swear word. Right? Not just something that grandma believes. This generation is lost. They've left Jesus behind. Matthew 22:1-14 says, "And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by a parable and said, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and set out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, "Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatty cattle are killed and all things are ready. Come to the wedding." But they made light of it and went their way, one to his own farm and another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his army, destroyed those murderers, and burned their cities. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited are not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servant, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." As we look at this wedding garment was a garment that the king would provide. It was something when you entered into the wedding that was provided by the king. And I think of my Lord, how He's provided me with this garment. It's not my garment, but it's something that the Lord gave me. And it's forgiveness that I've accepted it. But the bottom line is that we have to accept it, right? We have to accept what the Lord gives us. It's like any good gift. If it's not received, it's not accepted. Why was he there without the garment? He chose to come, but he didn't choose the king's garment for the wedding. And so, in a sense, perhaps, with many of us, he loved his sin. He loved his sin more than he loved the Savior. And for us, it's something that we've got to say, how much do we love our sin? Do we love our sin more than we love the Lord? And it's a challenge to us. You know, He's faithful to forgive, right? All we have to do is go to Him. He's faithful to forgive. The challenge here is, are we living right for the Lord? Are we doing what He's asked us to do? Are we going where He's told us to go? Are we being willfully obedient to Him? Are we being Matthew? Did He follow Him? Yeah, he followed him. Did he rise up? He rose up. Did he sit down with the Lord? He sat down with the Lord. Did he sit with sinners? He sat with sinners. Did he sit with those that are despised by this world? Yeah, he did. Doesn't mean that we fellowship with him, but it certainly means that we witness to him, that we have contact with. You know, Jesus made it pretty clear we're in this world, we're not of it. Right? Well, if we're in it, what are we doing in it? Because we do a lot of talking. We do a lot of talking. But when it comes down to it, us Christians, we talk a lot, but we don't do. You know? You know what James said? Be doers of the word. This isn't doers of the word. This is commandment. Go into all nations and make disciples, right? This is a commandment from our Lord that we should be doing this stuff. This isn't something that we have an option to do, right? It's important that we do it. And it says, go into the highways and gather together all. Gather them together. Tell them about the grace, the wonderful grace of the Lord. The wonderful mercies that he's even spared them their lives up until this point to show them Christ, that they could experience, that they could experience forgiveness. And that is our part. Our part is to show the gospel. Our part is to wear the gospel. When people look at us, are they seeing Fred? Are they seeing Jesus? Are we reflecting him? Are we really living for him?